Well, I know last week we talked a little bit about a new man. Felt like the Lord gave us some things about that. But we didn't finish. And I just feel like the Lord's been inspiring some more thoughts to our hearts along with those from last week. But we started last week in Colossians, the third chapter and the 10th verse. So maybe we'll just start there again to kind of get our thought. It says here, Colossians 3 and 10, it says, and have put on, well, verse 9 says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. But Christ is all and in all, and the scriptures tell us that he's no respecter of persons. So thank the Lord, he wants us and the new man to be no respecter of persons either. And he says here, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And you know, I was thinking about all of this and how it tells us there in the 12th verse to put on some things as the new man. And to add them to our faith and to add some things to our life. And the Lord wants us to recognize that after we're saved and after we're sanctified, the Lord wants us still to add things to our life. The last thing he would want is for us to sit down and say, well, I'm saved now. That's the beginning point. That's just the starting point. And so he says, put some things on. I believe he's alluding to clothing. You know, clothe yourself with some things and make them rich in our lives. Put it all over us. And he tells us all of these things that are such a blessing if they're in our lives. He talks about, and we mentioned last week about bowels of mercies and kindness. What beautiful lives people have that are filled with kindness. You know they're kind people. You know you're not afraid to approach them. You know that if you need help, they'll help you. They'll likely, if they can help you, they will help you. That's the way God's people are. That's the new man. That's the creature that used to be selfish and used to be just like everybody else in the world, fighting and doing all kinds of evil and lustful deeds and all those things. But the new man, he says, put it on. And I believe the Lord wants us to add to our faith and add to our experience things all through our life. He wants our life to become more and more rich as we go. You know, I was thinking about this is just a little illustration. I was just asking the Lord to give me a little something to illustrate this thing. But you know, the very land that we live on here, at one time was pretty barren. all these, the counties, they said Canadian, Cleveland, Kingfisher, Logan County, Oklahoma County, and Payne County, around 2 million acres, just pretty well without structures, without much civilization. And you know, they opened that up, and the children know, because we all know about 89ers Day and all of that, where they lined up and they fired a pistol off or a gun off, and they took off 50,000 people. And everywhere they went, the land that they claimed, if they were the first ones on that piece, it was theirs. That was their piece. And if they would live there, and if they would improve it, they could have it up to 160 acres. And you know, we see all around us, we know families around us here that their posterity is still on that same piece of property that somebody claimed back there. And you know, this morning, we see all around us streets and roads and houses and businesses and gas stations, all kinds of things, improvements that have been made to the land, if you want to call it that. And so we see where there has been all of this done after they set their foot on these places. You know, this morning, our life is a little bit like that. And I just want to encourage us to recognize that God wants us to see the place that He wants us to have. And He wants us to know that this is for you. It's a gift to you, and I'm going to give it to you. But you've got to set your foot on it, and you've got to improve it. And you've got to set your affection on some of those things and begin to long for those improvements. Begin to long for those things that make the land valuable and make your life valuable. And the Lord is really looking for and wanting us this morning to recognize the inheritance that He's given us and the blessing that He has given us, that it can be ours. And He's looking for us. He's looking for us to improve those things. Now, we know the Scripture says we are His workmanship. It is His work in us, no doubt, but it is our affections that we allow to go out to the things of God. And we allow to go out to His things. And the things of this life, the things that we have to make it through life, those are just accessories to help us to get there. And so the Lord wants us to keep those things in proper perspective all of our life. That He wants our life to be one constant improvement and love for the land that God has given us. And I'm speaking spiritually this morning. Love for the things that God has wants to put into our lives. The kindness, all of these things. And we're going to speak a little bit more about some of those things. But God wants to put those things in our life. And I want to... I'm going to embarrass myself a little bit this morning, but I remember when I was a lot younger and before I was married quite a while, but I was driving and I drove, it was on ice, and I slid into a fella's post, and it broke the post and broke the stone on it. And it all fell down in a pile. And you know, that was there for a long time. And I don't know why. I'm embarrassed today to admit this. But I just thought, oh, he's got plenty. It doesn't matter. And I don't know how I could have thought that, because we weren't raised, nor did we have the idea that anybody owed us anything. But some way that was in our mind. But you know, we come into life sometimes with things in our minds that God has to change. Sometimes we were trained, you've got these rights and they must be protected, and you must fight, and you must demand your ground. When somebody's done you wrong, you've got to settle the score. Do you know there are whole civilizations that believe that this morning? But you know what that brings? It brings war. It brings trouble. It brings problems. And the Lord is looking for us in the new man to add to our life things that matter, things that are good. Now, I will confess, when I realized later what I had done, I was just too embarrassed to want to go back. But I knew I had to go back. I had done something wrong, and I went back and confessed what I'd done and paid for it. And you know, it was several hundred dollars worth. But you know, this morning, I don't know how those things get in our minds sometimes as people. I see sometimes we see a lot of ideas when it comes to forgiveness. People have a lot of ideas about that, believe it or not, folks. Without God's intervention and His teaching us, Many times people have ideas that that they hold things on people, and they're going to hold things on people, and they did me wrong, and I can't allow that kind of degradation to my... I can't allow them to say that in my face without getting back in their face. And they believe that. Even I've found people that have known truth for a long time sometimes. You know, this morning, we want to ask the Lord, Lord, would you teach me your ways and show me your paths? And lead me in the way wherein is the good way. And lead me in the way that leads not to war, not to turmoil, not to degradation of our lives and problems and issues. But Lord, lead me to a life that leads to be a peacemaker. You know, that takes time to learn to be a peacemaker. Maybe we weren't raised in that environment. Maybe we weren't raised. There's things in our minds, folks. I'm convinced the Lord has a lot of work to do. And it's not all done the night we get saved. The Lord wants to work in our lives from that point on and change us. And He tells us, add to your faith brotherly kindness. Now, why does He say to add that? Because it's something that He wants us to work at. It's something He wants us to see that we need to add to our lives, these things. And so this morning, I just want to begin to look into the Word a little bit with that idea in mind. Lord, would you be so gracious to me as to open my mind and let me see your thoughts this morning? Would you be so gracious to me as to let me know the things that are harming my life, that's harming my life, or that is not your ways, not ways of peace and not ways of tenderness, not ways, you know, we have things in our mind, folks. We have to allow God to begin to change us. And it comes through desire. It comes through seeking those things which are above. And so I want to look at Colossians 1 first, and we'll come back here in a minute. But Colossians 1 and 9, it says here, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know, that's not something that we have on our own. And Paul said here, he said, I don't quit praying for you that you will be filled with all spiritual understanding so that you understand the concepts of God and the ways of the Lord, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened, listen to that, the words here, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. You know, God is looking for our life to be a bountiful land. I believe that this morning. Do we believe that? Do we believe that God really wants our life to overflow to many? He wants our life to be one that, it says, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of who God is. Increasing in the knowledge of God's presence living in our life, of depending fully upon Him and recognizing, Lord, I need you every day. I need you every hour. I want you to guide my steps. I want you to teach me your ways and show me your paths. Do you know, until we have that kind of longing and that kind of desire, you know, we're going to be shortchanged. We're only going to have what we have and not more. And so this morning we want to look on, it says, giving thanks. Well, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience, listen to this, and long-suffering with joyfulness. That's the life of a Christian. And God help us to reach that mark this morning. The Lord help me to reach that mark. You know, we want to reach that, don't we? let's add it. Let's desire it. Let's seek after those things that are above and not after the things of this world and this life. Listen to this, Ephesians 1 and 17 to 19. It says here, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. We realize God wants to do that. Now here again is a prayer where Paul's telling the Ephesians, he says here, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Isn't that wonderful this morning? How that God wants and longs to give us of Himself in that way. He longs to give us the knowledge of Himself. He longs to give us the understandings of His Spirit. Those things bring health. They bring life to people's lives. They bring spiritual health. They bring health to relationships over and over. His ways work. And so what we want to do is find out what His ways are. Lord, would You show me Your paths? Would You lead me in a path that makes our life, Lord, a tree of righteousness to other people? A tree that the fruit blesses people's lives all the time. Comes by seeking, folks. Comes by adding some things in our life. Yes, the Lord gives us a start. And what a wonderful start He gives us. A new birth, a new man, and we're new, we're all new. We're not talking about things of sin here. We're talking about things where God wants us to enter into the land and things begin to change. When the Israelites went into the land of Canaan, that we view as a sanctified experience, do you know that those people had walls that had to come down, but they were in the place to do it now? They were in that land. And you know, there were giants that had to be slain. And they had the weaponry and the authority of the Lord to do it. You know, the Lord wants to give us those things this morning. In 2 Peter 3 and 18, it says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You know, the Lord wants us to grow in grace. He's looking for growth. He's looking for growth in the knowledge of God in our lives. And I believe when He comes back, He's looking for those people that He was the center of their life. And He was the one that they sought after. He was the one that they sought to build their life after and do His will. And I believe the Lord's looking for that this morning. And so I want to go back now to Colossians 3 and look at some of those scriptures that this wonderful chapter, to me, it's one of the most balanced. If you look at the whole of life, this third chapter of Colossians and the fourth chapter of Ephesians gives us so much about life and about the way to live life, the things that are successful this morning. Starting in the first verse. If ye then be risen with Christ. Now he's talking to people that have had a new birth. He's talking about folks that have the new man. And he said, if you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, you know, this morning, The Lord wants us to know that when we are His, He wants us to set our affections on things above. But He says two things there. He says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Things on the earth are only to get us through life. We must ever keep that in view. It must never be the end result of what we're trying to do. It must never be what our affections are set on. It must never be what we dream of, and that's what our life is about. Our life should be about setting our affection on things above. Lord, to do your will. My job is to do your will. What I do at work is to do your will. The things, the money I have to make is to do your will, so that I can live life and for you and to do the things of God. And it's so easy in life to get that backwards. It's so easy for us to begin to live after the flesh and to begin to live after our dreams, the things we want to do, and then try to put God somewhere in that. Lord, I want to be sure I go to church. I want to be sure that I pray at night because I want to. But you know what? If our life is about our own thing and God is the other part, we've got it backwards. It has to be where that, Lord, I want to do your will and your will only. I'm consumed with it. I want it to be the center of my life. And Lord, I have to work so that I can do your will. And you know, when things are in its proper perspective, it'll take us out of many, many dangers. There's a lot the Bible says about setting our affection on other things. It says they that will be rich cast themselves into a snare. Why is that? Because folks, it's a very careful place. It's a place where it's so easy for us to have our whole mind set about this life and the things we do. We have to be careful that, Lord, my mindset is to do your will all the time. What do you want me to do today? This can facilitate what you want me to do today, the things that you have me doing in this life. So I want to look at a few of the words here. Set your affection on things above. You know that word affection? Intensively, to interest oneself in, with concern or obedience. This is strong. So there, it says a number of things here. I'm reading part of it. Set the affection on. You know, it's the same word as it says in Matthew 16 and 23, where Jesus turned to Peter and he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Now, I'm not going to try to explain that verse, but that word, to Peter, you're not savoring. You're not tasting after. You're not having your affection set on things above here. You don't want me to suffer. I know that. But you know what? You're an offense to me because the plan of my Father is that I suffer. You see, Jesus' plan was to do the will of God. That included suffering in his life. It included separating himself from things that he would have liked to do as a man. Of course, he was as a man. Don't you know that he had temptations all along through life, just like we do, but yet without sin? And the Lord, he had his affection set on something different. Peter only saw in the flesh. Peter didn't mean to be doing anything wrong. He was just, no way, Lord, you're not going there. You're not going to suffer like that. I'll fight with you to the death. And I believe he would have. But the Lord told him, you're not tasting after the things of God. So this morning, God help us to, in the new man, to have a taste, a savor after the things of the Lord. That consumes our life. Lord, what do you want us to do? What's your call in my life? Do we all know and believe, as the scripture bears out, that we all have a talent? Do we all know that God gives to every man the gifts as it pleases him? And he's got one for you and me. Every one of us. Do we believe that? Savor those things. Taste after them. Set your affection on it. Lord, what do you want in my life? Lord, I want to live for you. How do you want me to think? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Or do we pull back and say, you know, when I get old, I'll have time then and I'll go do the will of the Lord. I'll do the work of God. You know, the Lord might have something for you to do right now, today. And so we want to savor those things. It's the same word that's used in Romans 14 and 6, where it says, he that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. Regard. That means he's paying attention to it. Special attention. He that regardeth the day pays special attention to the day, doesn't he? And so that's what he's telling us here. He wants you to set your affections on things above, not on things of the world. So this morning, the Lord help us. He gave us two commands there, one positive and one negative. He says, set your affection on things above. And then he says, not on things on the earth. You know, those are things that if we will do it God's way, you know, he'll begin to open up his heavenly kingdom to our hearts. And the Lord will begin to teach us and lead us in the things of God all through our life. I want to look at a few scriptures here that talks a little bit about those things in Matthew 6 and 24. Matthew 6 and 24 says, no man can serve two masters. Now this is what Colossians, the third chapter, is all about, folks. It's talking about being single-minded, single-hearted, serving the Lord with everything we've got. And everything else is a servant to that, to facilitate that, to get us through life. For either, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Well, you know, he could have put many things in there. We can't serve God and other things. We can't serve God and idols. He tells us plainly those things. But we can serve God single-heartedly. We can serve him with no other thoughts. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Now, does the Lord really want us to not think about those things at all? I believe the scripture bears out that he means to us, don't take anxious thought about it. Don't let it trouble you. Don't let it become the center of your life. He says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? We got to remind ourselves of that once in a while, don't we? We do. But you know what? The Lord wants us to put these things on. He doesn't want people to see a troubled, scared, afraid people. The Lord wants people, I believe, to see his glory. And he does that through us many times this morning. Skipping on up in verse 21, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But listen to this contrast again, the same thing again. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, verse 20, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, that's the Lord said that. I believe he knew. I always feared that scripture. I always did, because I knew it said it. Where your treasure is, there your heart's going to be, the Lord says. Let's be careful that our treasure is set on things above. And I know there's, I know the Lord has rich people, but folks, we got to be really careful this morning. Be careful in our lives and our affections, how we drive our lives and what we let drive our lives, what we let happen in our affections this morning. So I want to turn back over now and in Colossians 3 again. And the Lord help us. You know, we read there about putting on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Okay. Now, I want to look at a few others of these that we didn't catch last week. I don't know if we said anything hardly about long suffering. But you know, the Lord wants us to add long suffering to our life and to who we are. He wants us to add that. It says, long suffering is really bearing injuries or provocation for a long time. Patient, not easily provoked. Now, that's part of the definition. But you know, that's patient, isn't it? It's patient with people. It's patient with people that the world would say it's time to chop them down to size. You know, doesn't mean that we're not plain, that we don't speak truth. But you know, there's a big thing in being long-suffering. God's people are that way. And He wants us to see it. And He wants us to admire it. Long-suffering, this is part of who God is. Was He not long-suffering with man? Was He not long-suffering with you and me? Was He not that way when we didn't deserve it? And so He's telling us, I want you to be long-suffering. And I want you to put this on. I want you to clothe yourself with it. And be a person that's long-suffering. And that bears with people and is kind. We find out in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians that love is kind. And it's kind when it's patient. That's what long-suffering is. It's kindness in suffering. And so when we suffer with people in a way that we shouldn't, you know, God's grace, something for us to put on, isn't it? It's something for us sometimes to just see our need and realize, I need the Lord to help me here. It says forbearing one another and forgiving one another. You know, forbearing, I think we pretty much know what that means, but it means to stop, to cease, to hold from proceeding, as forbear to repeat these reproachful words. Do you know there's many times in a conversation that things would stop and the heat would stop if somebody would forbear and just not say the next sentence? That's what forbearing is. Lots of times things would just be stopped in their tracks. Do you know what a blessing that would be in our lives? If we add this to our life and we just forbear, we forbear. That's what this is saying for us to add into our life. And Lord, help us to know how to do that. It goes on to say forgiving one another. And then it says something seemingly odd to us. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Is it possible for someone to have a quarrel against someone else and they're both trying to live for the Lord? Now, I'm not trying to bring this down low, but folks, listen. We find those disciples kind of having some troubles. Now, I know that was before the day of Pentecost, but they were having some troubles there. The Lord had to set them down and tell them some things, didn't He? And straighten their mind out. You know, what more should we be like? What more should we be like? It says here, if any man have a quarrel against any. Do you know that when you forgive somebody truly, you love them then. You can love them then. And you cannot love them. If we cannot love somebody, do you know we haven't truly forgiven them? If we cannot love them, now you know what love is? It does good to people. It does kind things to people. It tries to help people. It prays for people. That's what love does. And if we can't, out of a flowing heart, do that for somebody, then that is a real signature that we haven't forgiven totally yet. And the Lord is telling us here, put this on your life. Become forgiving. Yes, they did you wrong. Did they do you wrong? Maybe so. Maybe meaningfully. Do you know that as God's people, the new man, we are not only commanded by the Lord and demanded by God to totally forgive them from the heart, but do you know what a blessing that is in our life when we do? Do you know what a free man you can be, or woman, or child that you can be when you truly have no feelings toward anybody? You know how free that is this morning? God wants us to be that way. That takes a death to ourself when that happens, when those things happen. It takes us reading the Word, knowing the Word, and accepting it, and then finding grace for it. Now, Lord, you tell me to forgive one another. That means that I go on about then doing good. That means that I've had people tell me, literally, folks that ought to know better. Yes, I forgive them. I just don't want to see them. I don't want to talk to them. You haven't forgiven. You haven't forgiven then. Because when we forgive, the Lord wants to open up our heart to have love. And He wants us to be able to do that. That's a tall thing. That's a big thing in life today. There are many prisoners everywhere. Everywhere, every society, every family almost has some of this in it, where somebody's heart is hard and hardened by unforgiveness. They did me wrong, and I'm not letting them go. Folks, the Lord came to set the prisoners free. He came to set you and me free. He came to make us examples of what His grace is like, and the Lord wants to do that. You know how many problems this would solve this morning? If everybody truly had a heart that had no ill will whatsoever in it toward anybody. I believe the Lord wants that this morning. He wants us to forgive, to not only to cease, to forbear the things that we would say, but to pardon. The word in Webster's, the word forgiving means pardoning or remitting. In Strong's, it says to grant as a favor. That is gratuitously. In kindness, pardon or rescue. Deliver, frankly, forgive. Freely give or grant. That's what forgiveness is this morning. Now we have the story of the man that came and he had a little debt to someone else, and he would not forgive. The man forgave him the debt. And so this man went and took one. I'm sorry, I'm not doing well with this story. But we know the story of how the Lord said, if we don't forgive, because see, the man had owed some other greater man a great amount. And here he was holding on to somebody that owed him a little. And that's the way it is with God. Folks, we owe Him a lot. How are we going to stand before Almighty God when we're holding somebody for saying some ugly things about us? And He's saying, I came to shed my blood to pardon your sin, where you have sinned against me. And you are holding them for saying some ugly things or for doing some things that was not well. You know, this morning, this is a big thing, I know. But God has grace for us to do this. And He loves to do this. He loves to set us free, completely free from our bondage that the devil would put us into. You know, Mark 11 and 25 and 26 says, and when ye stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Folks, this is Jesus' words, and he meant them this morning. And he wants us, as his people, to be a very forgiving people. I believe it's part of who God is. I want to read another passage with that before we go on. Matthew 5 and 43. It says here, ye have heard. Now, you know, I don't know what you've heard in your life. But we've all heard things when we were young, most of us anyway here, that wasn't right. We've been taught concepts that wasn't really on target. And Jesus said here, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Now that's what they were taught. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Do you know there is millions upon millions of people today that believe this today? Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Because, see, this is what your Father doeth. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans the same? The tax collectors do that. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I know this is a big thing in people's lives. I don't treat it with lightness. It takes God. But that's what he came for, folks. To deliver the prisoners out of prison and to set them free. To set them free to love, to enjoy life, to have the good things of God, to have peace in our hearts and joy in our lives. God came to bring those things for us. Should we be bound as the old man is, or will we allow the Lord in the new man? He said, set your affection on these things and add them to your life. That's what God wants us to do this morning. Oh, Lord, would you bless us today? To every one of us, have a heart, have a life that our affections are up there. They're on things that are of real eternal value. And everything else, yes, we do. We enjoy things. We really, the things of life are very good sometimes. I think of them like spice. You know, there's a little spice that makes things good. But if you just eat spice, it's no good at all. You put a little salt. I was amazed. I was helping Rosie with the recipe yesterday. And I was looking at the amount of salt that went in this whole recipe. It was very small compared to the whole recipe. But it was there. Without it, things wouldn't taste the same. And you know, in a sense, the things of this world is like that. The Lord makes us to enjoy the good things of life. But to set our heart on it, to just eat the salt, to just eat the things of this life, folks, we're missing the real substance when we do that. That's just the little stuff. God, help us today. Lord, fill our lives with your ways. Fill our lives with those things that's from above. Those things that fill a life. Those things that make people peaceful and happy and enjoy life. Thank the Lord this morning. I want to encourage every one of us to seek the Lord. Lord, fill up my life. Put it on all over me. Let me be clothed with the things of righteousness and of godliness. It'll bless your life. What could it hurt? Where could it hurt? It blesses our lives on every turn when we take the ways of God. Now, sometimes we suffer, I know, but I want to tell you something. I'd rather suffer and have a clean heart and have peace in my heart with God. I'd rather suffer than not have that and have all the things this life has to offer. I want to read just a few more scriptures here, another couple maybe. It says here, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. Now, what is charity? Is it not reduced down? It's love. That's what charity is. He says, put it on. Put love on your life. Fill your life up with love. Clothe yourself with love. Let it be what people bump into. Let it be those things that that people see, they feel, even in admonishment, even in troubles, even when we have to speak plain with one another. Can it be in love? I believe it can be. And the Lord tells us, I want your life to be clothed with this thing. Now, I want to say this. If we have anger, if we have unforgiveness, we will not be clothed with love. We cannot be. The two are incompatible as light and darkness are incompatible. It cannot be. But you know, as we take the new man on, as we set our affection on things that are good and heavenly and holy, I believe the Lord will give us some of these good things. Put on, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And there's a whole message in that itself. It is the bond of perfectness. Charity is. That is the bond, folks. You know, when we love one another, and when we give ourselves, our life, to loving other people, do you know that's the bond of perfectness? That's the bond that binds us together. That's the signature of God's people. The love of God in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. You know, if we take up other things, we can't let the peace of God rule. We'll have other things in our hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. Now, how are we going to let the word of Christ dwell in us? Because we eat it. Daily, we eat it. We take it, we read it, we assimilate it, we think about it, we mull it, we chew on it, and it becomes food to our spiritual life, and we begin to grow in grace and in the things of God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Thank the Lord this morning. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Everything we do, folks, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. He's the one that died for us. He's the one that paid the price for us to have grace from heaven. The Lord loves us today. And He wants to fill us with His love. And He wants to fill us. And He wants to clothe us with those things that are from above this morning. Blessing upon blessing. Lord, bless each one of us here.